Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf. Baba Metzia Kofit Beis. Four lines off the top of the Yom Adavar Achar. We have another explanation in the Pasuk of Elav who knows his nafsha. Don't withhold your employees' wages. Ve'elav who knows his nafsha. What does that mean? Says the Brisa. Because when a person withholds a salary from a socher, it is considered as though he is taking a life away. Now, whose life is he taking? We have a machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. Chadama 1 explains, Nafshe shel gazlan. The Torah is warning the employer, look, should you withhold his salary, his subsequent punishment may be death, the employer's death. Says Rashi, he'll be accountable for Chas V'Shalom, his own death, a punishment for holding back the schar of the sachir. The other Amora learns that the pasuk is simply speaking about the nefesh of the nigzal. Rashi explains, by withholding one's salary, Ne'enash olav gihilu hergoy. It can generate a punishment from Hashem as though he killed that person, as though that person was a victim of murder. As we learned yesterday, because he was Meister Nefesh, he gave up his life, he put his life on the line, endangered himself, climbing up those scaffolds, climbing up that dangerous tree to pick your fruit, to lay your bricks. By the way, the Noidi B'Yudah learns, based on this Gemara, that one is allowed to place himself in a certain degree of danger to earn a livelihood. He's Meis Nefesh, says the Gemara, based on this Pasuk. So, by withholding his salary, you take away his life. Look, he gave his life for it. How can you not pay him? Says the Gemara, okay, what is this Machlekes based on? Where did they get their interpretations? Man Damar Nafshe Shel Gazlan. The one that applies it to the perpetrator, it can bring about his death. As we find in another Pasuk in Mishle, L'chsiv al tigzal dol, be careful, don't rob a poor man. Ki dolhu, Rashi says, im dalu, just because you're thinking that he's a poor man, he has nobody to defend him, be careful, don't take his money. Val tadaki ani bashar, l'chsiv ki Hashem yorev ribam, v'kava eskav ehem nefesh. So, when a person withholds money from a doll, from his poor worker here, the kavas kaiv eim nefesh, Hashem will be kaiveya kaiv eim, Hashem will punish the fellow who the kavar, says Rashi, means the geizel. The geizel es geizleim. Right? Hashem will apply the concept of gzela to the gazlan, take away something from him, in exchange for, right, because he took the money from the nigzal. And what is Hashem going to take from him? His nefesh, his life. So that's the consequence. The gazlan brings that about on himself. Umadam nefesh shel nigzal, the other shita says that the pasuk is referring to taking the victim's life. Chsiv, as we find in another pasuk, ken urchas kol betzea botza as nefesh balavikach. The way of the thief is to take the nefesh, the life, of his victim. So we see that it's referring to the victim. Now what does this opinion do with the pasuk that we just quoted as nefesh balavikach, which indicates that in fact we're speaking about the victim's nefesh being taken, not the perpetrator. Well, ba'al of the hashta, it's referring to the ganav who currently is in possession of that money. Hashem will take his life away for stealing, because stealing is like murder. Now, what does the other shita to do with the first pasuk, which indicates that it's the perpetrator losing his life? Ma'atam ka'amar. The pasuk is simply giving a reason. Ma'atam kava es kaveim. Why? In fact, will Hashem punish, severely punish the Gazlan, and may even take away his life. Mishum denot lo nefesh, because he took away the nefesh of the victim. So it's midah connected midah. So bottom line is, withholding wages, something very severe, something very serious. He was meisah nefesh for his money. And by holding up that money, it's considered nefesh. According to one sheet, it's like he took his life. Mishnah says, all these, halachas, the isser of Baal Tullin, right? It's only if the worker asked for his money, he sent you a bill. Otherwise, you're not over. Tana Rabbana, loy solan pulas sachar. Take care not to delay, right? Paying wages. Yochel afil loy tovay. Perhaps even if he hadn't asked for his money yet, tamal lemer itcha ladaitcha. The concern is only if it's ladatcha, if it's by way of your decision. Going against his request. He asked you for the money and you're withholding it. That's ladatcha. But if he hasn't yet asked for it, maybe he's not in a rush. Yochel afilu engle. Next point. Fine, he asked you for the money. But let's say you don't have the money on hand. Have you violated the Isser? No. Tamalami itcha. Loisolan pulas itcha. Sheyesh itcha. It's strictly speaking when you have the money with you. You have the money available. But otherwise, you're not able. Next halach. Yochel afilu imcheu etzel chemeni. This is the halacha we had in the Mishnah. Let's say he gave him a credit note. I know you need to buy some groceries here. Take a gift card for the grocery store. Take a gift card for the bank, right? The Shulchani. And they'll pay you. Has he now fulfilled his obligation? Itcha. Tamalim itcha. This is only if the money is with you, as opposed to where he already delegated it to the bank or to the grocery, with this fellow's consent, of course, right? So even if they hadn't paid him on time, it's not my issue. Right? Now, okay, so that's what we just learned. Now comes an interesting question. Let's say the bank refused to give him that money. Can he come back to me? Am I still responsible? Or is it as though, once I gave him that authority, I gave him that gift card, it's as though I paid him, I'm done. Can he still go back to the employer and ask for his money? If he wasn't successful at the grocery or the bank, or perhaps he has no recourse. It's already paid up as far as I'm concerned. Go claim it from them. He cannot return to the employer. As far as he's concerned, it's paid up. He can go back. I don't know if this is true, because look at the Mishnah. Once he delegates it, he's not over. Okay, he's not over if the time passes or whatever. But he's still ultimately responsible for that paycheck. If it doesn't work out at the bank, he can come back to me. Rav Sheshe Sama, he says, no, my eino ever. When the mission says eino ever, it means I'm totally out of the picture. Eino betoira aslaver. I'm not within this whole equation anymore to be able to be ever. Meaning I'm not anymore your employer. I don't owe you any money. Bo minei merav Sheshe. So here comes another question to Rav Sheshe. Kablonis, a contractor. Okay, so here's my car. Fix it up. Tell me when it's ready. It's not like a worker, like a laborer, like a daily worker. It's a contractor. Do the job and let me know when it's done. I get back the car and I delay payment. Is there an Isser of Baal Tullin or not? And what does this question depend on? The way Rashi learns, the Gemara, it depends on the next question. Uman, when a fellow improves an item, such as the mechanic who improves on the car. Does he acquire that added value? It's like his. And now when he gives me back the car, it's like a sale. It's like selling me the added value in exchange for that fee. So now when I delay that fee, it's like a loan. I owe money. That's not considered direct wage for your work. You've done your job. The item partially belongs to you. You're giving it to me like selling it to me. I owe you money for that sale. Valvoi, it's like a loan. In which case, there's no Baal Tullin on repaying a loan. So even if I procrastinate, I haven't really violated these Isurim. Oi, or no. Ein uman koine b'shvach kli. When a fellow improves an item, he doesn't really get a part of it. He doesn't really own it. So after all, I'm paying him for his work, for his labor. Uschirus, it's like regular schirus. In which case, I have to pay on time. Amalu Rav Sheshes Oiver. Rav Sheshes responded in the affirmative. It's like schirus, and I must pay on time, otherwise I'm Oiver. V'atanya ain't Oiver, but the Brisa says you're not Oiver. Hasa, oh, Shem Chayu, it's Al-Khanavani, it's Al-Shulchani, that's speaking where he delegated it to the bank, to the grocery. Name him a Seyele. Now comes an attempt to support Rav Sheshes. Hanoisen Talisa Luman. He gave his garment to the Uman, to the professional, Gomra, he finished the job, he informed me that it's done. Hafilu Mikan. Even if it takes 10 days for me to show up, there's no Isra Batalon, but Nasna Lai, once he gives it to me, he delivers me the complete item, even if he gave it to me lunchtime, right? I must pay during that day until the sun sets. Once the sun sets on me, there's an Isra Batalon. Now, if the tradesman is over, the craftsman is kind, he acquires the added value and benefit that he crafted there. So now he's like selling it to me. Am I over? So why is there an Isra Baltolim? Omar of Mori, Breder of Kahana. No, perhaps we're speaking about a case where there is no shvach kli. Begarda the sarbala. He was charged with doing some sort of procedure with the softening it, right? Banging the softening the material. In which case, there's no added value to the items. So here, it's certainly considered like a regular labor with halachis of Baal Tolim. What do you mean, says the one, why do you have an ele? Why do you give it to him? The rukuchi, to soften, hainu shvachi, that's added value. You improved on the material. It's now warmer, it's more fluffy, right? More insulating. Leitzricha, says the Gemara, leka argi minei lebetushi. No. His deal was, look, I want you to bang it. Rashi says they used to kick it, they used to put it into a kli and fill it with some sort of material and it would be stepped on. That would make it more thicker and more durable, whatever. So it was a very specific job. Bang, bang, right? But bitcho, bitcho, b'ma'asa. You get a ma'a for every bitcho, every bang. So here says Rashi, it's a plain schirus. It's like, I'm hiring you to bang. One bang, another bang, another bang. So here, there's no issue of uman koine b'shvach kli. You're not koine the item. It's just physical work I hired you to do. I hired you to bang. It's the activity, it's the act that you hired for. So here, there's no issue of uman koine b'shvach kli, in which case, it wouldn't really pertain to our question, which discusses a case where he actually improved the item, and he was hired to bring back a new and improved item. Right? He was contracted to bring me a finished product. In that case, we can still speculate that perhaps uman koine b'shvach kli, and the whole issue of Baal Tolin does not apply. Now, the Mishnah says, Socher b'zmanoy nishba v'noytel. I hired the guy for today, right? For a day job. So the zman of payment begins when? When the day's up, right? By sunset. And I have the next segment, right? The next night until the morning to pay him. That's called zmanoy. Now, let's say there's some dispute between us. He says, I didn't pay him. I claim I paid him. Mishnah says, we make a special dispensation for the sacher. Look, typically, we don't allow it, but here you can make a shvua, we trust you on that, and you can collect your money. Asks the Gemara, why? Sacher amai tekinu l'rabbanu l'mishtaba v'shakal. Since when do people swear to collect? I mean, typically you swear to exempt yourself, not to collect. Amar Yudam Ashmol, you're right. This is an exception. Halacha is gedoylo is shanukan. This belongs in that list of Mesech HaShvois of, right? You look over there, you have a whole list of cases and exceptions to the rules where, in fact, your nishba, the shvua is to allow you to collect, and sacher is one of them. Halachas gedoy l'shanukan. Asks the Gemara, why are we using this type of phrase? Halachas gedoy, hani hilchas anina, these are halachas? It sounds like he's speaking about halachas meshim yasinai. It's not the right. It's hani takanas nina, the takanas d'rabbanam. Elam Rav Yudah Mashmol, you're right, takanas gedoy l'shanukan. They're great takanas, established by the Chacham. Takana is Gedoyla Shanukan. Asks the Gemara, why are we calling it Gedoyla? Gedoyla is Mechaldik Ektana, it's big ones, and there's small ones elsewhere. I mean, why are we calling it big ones? Elam Rachnav Rashmo, Takana is Kvoy Shanukan. It's a Takana of Rabbanan, it's called Takana is Kvoy. Why? The Gemara explains how it got the title Kvoy. Shvo de Balabayasi, because really, in such a case, the employer, the Balabayas, should make a Shvo to exempt himself from payment, like we find throughout the Torah. Rashi brings the pasuk, v'lokach ba'olav lo yishalim. He takes the shvuah from me, meaning I swear to him, substantiate my claim, and it exempts me from payment. That's typically what you do, right? But here we flipped it around. V'shadyu ha-sachar, we applied it to the sachar. Instead of the abai swearing to exempt, the sachar swears to collect. You know why? Mishum kedei chayev. Because this poor fellow needs it for his livelihood. The sachar, right? Asks the Gemara, is that adequate reason to disadvantage and disenfranchise the Balabais from his rights? Umashim Kadechayev the Sachar, just because the Sachar is desperate for a Parnasa. Mafsadna lay the Balabais, we're going to disenfranchise the Balabais. And answers the Gemara, the Balabais is happy with this system. Balabais Gufa himself, Nichale. He's agreeable to Mishtaba Sachar Vishaka that the worker should be allowed to swear and collect. This way workers are willing to come to work, right? And they're not afraid that the Balabais will deny their payment. Asks the Gemara, Sachar Gufa Nichalei de Mishtaba Balabais. If anything, go the other way too. Guess what? A worker is agreeable with the Balabais making the Shvuah to exempt himself. V'yip can exempt himself. You know why? This way, Balibatim will be willing employer, will be happy to employ people. Ke'echad ligru Balabais. So why are we putting the onus on the Balabais? Put the onus on the Yisachar, meaning, why are we providing an incentive, right, for one fellow over the other, right? Answers the Gemara, well, Balabais al korchi agar. Balabais, he doesn't need an incentive. He's compelled, he's forced to hire workers. He's got to do jobs, right? So we don't have to incentivize him. Says the Gemara, Yisachar nami bal korchi itke. What do you mean? The Yisachar also is in need of being hired. It's his livelihood. So why do we have to provide him with an incentive? Hello, says the Gemara, you're right. There's another reason, another factor at play. Balabais torad b'poyalam hu. Typically a Balabais is overwhelmed, he's distracted by his many workers, and it's very possible that he simply was not mindful of the fact that, you know, he paid this guy, not the other guy, and therefore, even though he's claiming that he paid, we look at it like, a shaky argument. And Tosis explains, it's not just about the fact that he's that we question what he's saying, because in that case, it isn't necessarily going to trigger an obligation. Because the person doesn't know, doesn't mean they have to pay. But Tosis says, listen to this. Tosis says, based on the Gemara back in Bava Kama Kuf Yud Ches, Hilvisani ve'eni yodea. Let's say I come to you and I say, you know, I know you lent me money. I know for a fact you lent me money. I'm not sure if I paid you back. So, according to all shittas, I have to pay you now. It's not just about, you know, borrowing against Shema. If I acknowledge that I borrowed and I'm not certain whether I repaid you, I have to pay you. That's the same case here. The Balabais acknowledges that he hired this fellow. They did work for him, that he owed him the money. So, although he follows by saying, well, I paid him, no, that's not so simple. We question that second part. So, it's like, you lent me money, I'm not sure if I repaid you, I have to pay. Asks the Mori, if that's the logic here, Nesiv Leib Leishvuah. So skip the Shvuah altogether. If we're so sure that he owes him the money, let him just pay him outright. Well, you're right, but Kedei Lahafiz Datoi Shel Balabais. We're just trying to put the Balabais at ease. So we say, okay, you know what? First let him swear, and then he'll pay. V'Nesiv Leib Eidim. Let's just avoid this whole confusion. Let's institute that a Balabais has to pay in front of witnesses. In which case, if there are no witnesses, he's potter. And if he says, I paid you without Edim, he has to pay him without a Shvua, right? Trichelu Milsa, it's a whole hassle to find Edim, it's not practical. Well, Nesiv Leimi Kora, how about this? Let's institute a takana, a system that an employer always pays his employee at the beginning of the day. You know, at the end of the day, they're all converging and it's mayhem, right? Torah du payala, but beginning of the workday, they're perhaps staggered in terms of their starting time. Things are more calm, more focused. This way we avoid any confusion. Shneim writes in Malkaf, the answer is both individuals, the employer and employee, prefer, you know, waiting it out. Bakafa literally means credit, meaning waiting until the end of the day. The employer perhaps doesn't have his money yet, the worker might lose it on the job. Okay. If so, this halacha is based on this concept of the Baal Bayis being torad. So if the dispute pertains to whether or not he paid, we say the Baal Bayis is at a disadvantage. What about katzas? The question pertains to the salary amount to begin with. The employer claims it was $10, the employee $20. Why don't we say the same thing there? Baal Bayis is tarud and he doesn't remember, right? Along with Tanya, why do we find the Braisa that when it comes to this question, we deal with it totally differently? The worker says, well, you promised me $2. Baal Bayis claims it was only one. We don't say, well, just make a shvuah to collect. No. We consider this like any other monetary dispute, in which case you have to prove your case. Ha-moitzei mechaver, you want to extract money? Prove your point. All right. Why? Ha-mai says Torah, he's confused, he's distracted, preoccupied. No, tzitza vaday mitcha dechir le'inshi. People typically remember, you know, the terms of the salary agreement. Whether or not I paid you, that's confusing. I mean, I paid him and not you, you and I. But in terms of the agreement, we assume everybody remembers. Yach, if that's the case, says the Gemara. Let's go back to the original halach. Sacher b'zmanoi, right? If his pay time has arrived, like we explained, let's say he was a sacher yayim, he worked throughout the day. The zman of payment begins at night, and he has the whole night to pay. So within that segment, the nighttime segment, nishba v'noita. Yeah, I feel over zmani nami. What about if the zman is up? It's ready the next morning, which is past, you know, the Baal Tullin deadline. Let's apply the same concept there. Baal Bayis is torud. He forgot to pay. Let the sacher make ishvo to collect. Alama tanan. But why does the mission say he doesn't do that anymore? Over zmani. Once the time is up, eino nishba v'noita. He can't do that anymore. Why not? What difference does it make if it's now or then? The answer is chazaka. We assume ein Baal Bayis over mishum Baal Tullin. The Baal Bayis would not allow himself to transgress Baal Tullin. So that fact works against the sacher. We presume that he paid. Well, Amrus, but you just told me Baal Bayis told him to pay alavu. He's unfocused. What do you mean he's going to pay? He's not focused. Ha nemilu mekamedel umtayz man chiyuve. That's only before this man, before the deadline. So he's, you know, distracted. Avol, but he wouldn't play with fire. Avol matas man chiyuve. Once the Baal Tullin comes around, I mean, he's playing with fire. Rami Anashi, he certainly will jog his memory. He'll wake himself up umidkar and recall that he hasn't paid his worker. So we have that factor working against the worker. So this sort of counteracts the confusion factor. Asks the Gemara, okay, but you have another factor at play as well. Sure, the Baal Bayis wouldn't risk a Baal Tullin. Okay, if he's sacher. But remember, the worker's asking for his money. You think he's a robber? I mean, you also have to look at his record, right? If he's sacher, over mishum Baal Tigzel, why would he ask for money that doesn't belong to him? So if you're looking at spiritual, you know, calculations, you have one for the worker as well. Hasam trei chazaki, hacha chada chazaka. But bottom line, when you calculate the factors, you have two against one. Gabe Baal Bayis ikatrei chazaki. On the employer's side, you have a double chazaka factor to his benefit. Chada, one is the ein Baal Bayis over mishum Baal Tullin. He wouldn't allow himself to be over Baal Tullin. Chada, the next factor is the ein sacher masha schare. Chances are the worker would not let him wait that long. So that actually benefits the Baal Bayis. It gives us reason to believe that he paid him. So there are two factors in his favor, in the employer's favor. Once it's so late in the game, we have two factors in his favor. indicating that he paid. V'achachad ha'chazaka. On the sachir side, who claims that he wasn't paid, we have only one chazaka. Why would he steal? Why would he be dishonest? So it's two against one, in which case the Baal Bayis wins. So bottom line, sachir b'zmanu nishba b'noitel. Baal Bayis is torah b'payalov. But once you get past Baal Tolan, hard to believe that he would have allowed himself to go that late. And in this case, we assume he paid him. So we can't do nishba v'naitel, but, says the Mishnah, one more exception to the rule. Im yesh edim shetavoy hareza nishba v'naitel. We have edim that the sacher asked for his money. So now we sort of extend his privilege. It doesn't end by daybreak. The sacher can just swear any time and collect his money. Asks the Gemara, v'katavoy l'kamon. You're talking about demanding your pay in front of Edom. He's doing it in front of us now. What do we need Edom for? What do you mean? Oh, no. The Mishnah meant that he asked him for his money during the Zman. So again, in the case where he worked by day, so the owner has the next night, the following night to pay him. And during that segment, he asked for his money in front of Edom. He didn't just wake up today, a week later. In which case, we have good reason to believe he was paid up. No, he was already asking for bizmanai when the Baal Bayis was still torah b'payalav, and he wasn't paying him then. Ask Zumar, okay, but maybe he paid him an hour later. V'dimu l'basar hachi para, maybe he paid him an hour later. Amar Baya no, shetavei kol zmanai. He kept on asking and asking until the morning. So he wasn't paying him bizmanai. So now it sort of flips the whole equation around. Instead of assuming that the owner paid him to avoid Baal Tolan, we know for a fact he didn't do that. So now we allow the Sachar to, we grant him that same privilege, we stretch his privilege past his mana, and whenever he demands, whenever he comes, he can ask for it with a shvu. Like partly, I mean, he's not going to pay him forever, I mean, it's a year later, right? Who says he didn't pay him in the interim? Amar b'chamrach erukva, you're right. We have to be reasonable. We extend it a little bit. We give him another day. Right? So let's say he demanded his pay throughout the night. It didn't happen. So come the morning, we give him an extra day. It seems in the Gemara it's like a 24-hour period. Typically that's what yoyim means. Yoyim echem means 24-hour period. In any case, it's not forever. And he could be nishba v'naitel. But past that point, we say, look, it's already, now it's an unknown. We can't just give you that right, and we treat it like a regular hamoitzi mechavei l'avaraya. Okay, so let's recap today's daf. We discussed the importance of paying wages. It's tantamount to Noitel Nafshe because he was missing nefesh for this money. Delegating it to the Chanvani, to the Shulchani is okay. The Isser is only if the fellow asks for his money. Isser is only if you have the money to pay him. We had a question regarding a Kablon, whether or not there's Batolin. We explained the logic behind Socher Brizmano and Nishba Benoitel. Okay, all the best to you and Hatzlach Rav.